This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Let's talk with senior Giants writer for The Athletic. It is Dan Duggan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
People are kind of panicking around here a little bit, but I'm doing okay. What I was curious about to start things off, how has Daniel Jones done such a better job of handling pressure the last two games? Because you look at the game, you look at the numbers between that first game and these last two, it is quite different.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's wild. I mean, after that first game, it looked like, oh boy, we're on Drew Lock watch already, because he was just totally rattled. I mean, now granted, you know, that first week is tough to evaluate because, you know, you didn't think the Vikings were going to be a very good team. And now you see they're kind of doing that week in, week out. And so maybe that was more about just the scheme Brian Flores threw at him. But he just looked, he looked jittery, looked uncomfortable. It was really a mess. And so you're saying, like, this is a guy who didn't look good last year. Like, you know, what's going on here? Settled things down a little bit against Washington. Not a great defense, but still, it was at least a step in the right direction. And then against a very good Cleveland defense, he was dicing them up in the first half. Now, the second half, they kind of hung on for dear life, but he was 17 for 19 in that first half, and definitely much calmer under pressure. That's not easy defense to go against. You know, Myles Garrett is in your lap all day, and he stood in there, made some tough throws. He also did a really good job navigating the pocket and making plays either with his legs or you know, getting a little checkdowns out to his receiver. So, yeah, I mean, how do you do it? I don't know, because, again, I was like, this guy might just be done. I mean, we've seen quarterbacks who get that kind of, like, just lost and jittery feeling in the pocket, and you know, sometimes you never come back from that. So the fact that he's rebounded so well in such a short period of time is certainly encouraging. I mean, and listen, it's far from perfect, but again, it was like it was doomsday. You talk about panic and doubt. It was like, oh my goodness, this guy might not be able to play quarterback anymore after week one, and at least he's kind of settled that talk down.
I know that Malik Nabers is everything that we thought he was when he was at LSU and when he was going into the draft, but why would they throw the ball to Malik Nabers this week when they know they can run the ball against the Dallas Cowboys?
That's a good point. I think the game plan against Dallas has to be, we're going to run until they prove they can stop it, because obviously they haven't proven that in any game. At the same time, I mean, yeah, Malik Nabers has been, you know, as good as advertised. You know, it was kind of ridiculous in that Washington game. He had 18 targets. The rest of the team had 9. I mean, that's just like the proportions there are so crazy for a guy playing a second NFL game. But he's backed it up. I mean, he's been super productive. He is, you know, and the next in that long line of just LSU monster wide receivers, obviously the Giants and the Cowboys to an extent, are very familiar with one who kind of had his coming out party against Dallas 10 years ago. So there's even some parallels there.
Yes, but, yes, we all remember that catch too. Thank you.
Hey, Dallas won the game, which is obviously the footnote of that story. But no, I mean, I wasn't here for Odell's rookie year or second year. I came in third year. He was already established, so I didn't get to really live like the arc of it. But when he was at his peak, Nabers already feels like he's approaching that territory. That's how good he's been. So yes, I don't think you're going to want to lean too much into that, you know, because the pass rush could still cause problems, and, you know, Diggs is dangerous out there. That'll be a fun matchup between those two. For whatever reason, they seem to have a little beef. But, yeah, run the ball against Dallas until they prove they can stop it. And then, sure, you can take some shots to Nabers. And hopefully, for the Giants' sake, that's a combination that gets a much-needed and long-awaited W against Dallas. It's been a while.
Yeah, the what the Saints did and what the Ravens did, is that something that Singletary and Dable's offense can replicate?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's not as good as, you know, Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara. But, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that Washington game, they ran the ball well, and there were some big holes. I mean, granted, that Washington defense isn't anything to write home about. They really couldn't get the run game going against Cleveland. It's funny, even if you look at his stat line, it's really inflated by that last run where he, you know, screwed all the overbetters and fantasy owners when he went down to the 1 yard line. But that was a 43-yard run. Other than that, I think he had like 15 carries for 22 yards. So certainly, it's not like this well-oiled machine on the ground. But he's been good. I mean, he's a real shifty guy. He makes the first guy miss a lot. He's got those really, you know, quick jump cuts in the hole. So he's certainly capable. And I think the other element is Daniel Jones, for a guy coming back for torn ACL. He's shown an ability to run. And again, maybe the box score doesn't show it because he had a 20-yard run and a 9-yard run on zone read keepers called back last week. So I think that's an element that'll be in the game plan, because, again, that's a big part of what makes him, you know, at least an effective quarterback when he's on top of his game. So I'd expect you to see some more of that tomorrow night as well.
And it seems like he's, Daniel Jones, that is throwing the ball a little bit deeper, especially when he gets pressured. Because you automatically assume, you know, pressure means a more likely shorter throw. But it seems like he's able to not necessarily air it out, but get the ball downfield a little bit more even when he's under pressure.
Yeah, and that's what he didn't do at all in week one. Like, week one, it was just, like, panic and just, you know, check it down. Everything was short of the sticks. Everything was just, you know, the first option was just get it out of my hand. So, against Cleveland, he did do that more. And, again, I think a lot of that is just neighbors. Like, he just has confidence. I mean,
yeah.
The catch, I'm sure you've probably seen that highlight along the sideline where that was a bad throw. That ball should have been intercepted, and neighbors just ripped it out of the cornerback's hands for, like, a 28-yard gain. So that's the type of thing that I think will encourage more of that, because that's one thing with Jones. He was very aggressive early in his career, turned the ball over a ton, and I think they just overcorrected way too much, and then he's basically been afraid to throw the ball deep because, you know, it's one of those things where it's the old saying where, like, you throw it deep or you throw the ball, only, you know, one good thing can happen and two bad things can happen. I think that's been ingrained in his mind a bit too much. I think neighbors will loosen it up. But I will say he's thrown it deep more. He has not connected on very many of them. That's the part that's been missing. And with neighbors, with Jalen Hyatt, who's really been the forgotten man in this offense, they have the potential to hit big throws. They have not. He's really overthrown them pretty consistently. So if that ever gets, you know, up to speed with the rest of the offense, then they might have something, because they do have the explosive wide receivers, but just the timing hasn't been there so far.
Now, we've talked a lot about Malik Nabers. I do just have one more question about him. Outside of the physical skills, I know it's early, but what are our thoughts about his football IQ early on? Because it seems like it's pretty darn good.
Yeah, no, that's what jumped out to me. Because, yeah, I mean, listen, you could see the first rookie minicamp practice. Like, this guy, you know, he's the way he's built, the way he runs, all of that was obvious. And it was a sixth pick in the draft for a reason. But there's been little subtle things he's done already that shows that, like, you know, this guy kind of gets it. I mean, there was a play, second and goal at the 3-yard line the other day. They did a kind of a funky thing where they motioned him into the backfield. He took a wildcat snap, and the plan was to throw it to Jones on, like, kind of a Philly special type play. Cleveland didn't bite at all. So how many times have we seen, non-quarterbacks in that situation either force the throw, which can be a disaster, or even now he's getting pressured, they run out of bounds, or they take a sack, and you lose 10 yards. He just, you know, wasn't a dramatically amazing play, but he just threw it out of bounds, like what a quarterback would do. But again, you got a rookie wide receiver in there having the wherewithal to do that. And then third and goal, and then he makes a phenomenal, you know, touchdown catch to show what he really is all about. But, yeah, the football IQ has been impressive. Another thing he's done a lot is he'll catch a pass on, like, a little hitch route, and he knows where the defender is, and he spins outside. He's done that 3 times in the past 2 games and gotten big yards after the catch with that, where he just kind of seems to have a really good football sense, and it shows up in little ways like that. And it just really complements just kind of like the amazing athleticism he already, you know, it's obvious to anybody.
Since you said Jalen Hyatt's kind of been the forgotten man, what kind of challenges do you think he brings to the table for defenses?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's been a challenge for him to get on the field. I mean, he played 10 snaps the other day. He, in 3 games, he has, I believe it's 2 targets and no catches. So, yeah, he has not shown up at all. But when he's on the field, you do at least have to respect his deep speed. So, again, it's been more of a storyline here. Like, why is he not playing at all? And I think it's just as simple as Darius Slayton has been sort of like the steady guy here throughout his career, one of Daniel Jones' favorite targets. So he just kind of beat him out, and I think there's just more trust in him. But whenever Hyatt's on the field, he is a threat to take the top off the defense. If he's getting a target, it's probably going to be 20 yards plus in the air. Like, that's a guarantee. So I would think, you know, anytime he's on the field, I'm sure opposing defenses are on high alert for that. But, again, the problem is he just hasn't been on the field very much, so it hasn't really been much of a threat for other teams to contend with.
And I kind of feel like you're telling us when he is on the field, don't even worry about it. I know what you're saying, but it kind of feels like you're also like, they probably won't throw him the ball.
But no, they will. It'll be a deep shot, though. That's all I'll say. So the safety better stay on his heels, but he's not gonna, you know, route anybody up on a 3rd and 8 and, you know, make a tough catch over the middle. But 1st and 10, play fake, they will take a shot because that's the one way he can hurt you.
The Cowboys got a couple of rookies on this offensive line. Zach Martin hasn't quite been Zach Martin of late, and we're trying to figure out this offensive line right now. Well, you guys got up front with Dexter Lawrence and then Thibodeau, and how do you like having Brian Burns in this scenario as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a great addition off the field. Like, you know, you got a guy you don't know, comes with a big contract like that, you know how he's going to be, but he's been a really good presence. I mean, he's got some leadership qualities. You know, on the field, I think he found out pretty quickly, you signed that big contract and you're in New York, you're not in Carolina anymore, you don't have any sacks in the first 2 games. You know, people the expectations are a little higher, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
So he really kind of had a breakout game against Cleveland, had his first sack, and it was a huge one. It was a strip sack late in the first half, gave the offense a short field. So instead of being, you know, a 14-7 game going into the break, or even Cleveland going down and driving for a score, instead the Giants convert, it's 21-7. So that was kind of a game-changing play, and that's what, you know, that's what you need from a pass rusher like him. So and he's a guy, like, I wasn't panicking that he had two quiet games. He has a track record. You know he's going to be a good player. The issue is he needs to be a great player because they gave up what they gave up to get him. They gave him the contract, and he certainly hasn't been that yet. But, you know, I think you saw signs against Cleveland. The guy who makes everything go, though, is Dexter Lawrence. Like, he might be the best interior defense lineman in the league now that Aaron Donald is gone. I mean, he's that much of a dominant presence. You have to double him every play, and he still gets in the backfield. That's what's just amazing about him. A guy at his size with that strength who can move like he does, he's just someone – who, again, you just have to double him every play. If you leave, you know, a rookie center on him one-on-one, it's going to be a long day. So I would assume, you know, there'll be four hands on him at all times. And, again, that still might not be enough. And then Thibodeau, I don't group with him. I think he gets grouped with them. He's a tick below. They need to see more from him. Like, he's been okay. He's been fine. He has not been, you know, fifth overall pick good, especially when you see the guy, Aiden Hutchinson, in his draft class, who really blossomed into, like, a Pro Bowl dominant force. Thibodeau has not been that. I mean, he's a good player, but, again, like, they need more there. So – it starts with Lawrence. I think you're getting there with Burns. But the thing in Cleveland, they had all that pressure, is the new DC, Shane Bowen, like, must have, you know, found a page from Wink Martindale's playbook that got left in the locker room or something, because he blitzed, and that's not what he wants to do. But he was sending the house. You know, safeties are getting sacked. Linebackers are getting sacked. So that was a curveball he threw. I don't know that that's the way to attack, you know, Dak in this offense. But at least it's, you know, a page in their book that Dallas has to prepare for, and he knows he can go to it because it was really effective against the beat-up Browns O-line, and talking about rattled quarterback, Deshaun Watson was horrible last week. So it worked last week, and it's at least just kind of a club in his bag now that, you know, I guess he can pull out if his more preferred rush four play coverage, if that doesn't work against Dallas tomorrow night.
Great. I love that right there. Senior Giants writer for The Athletic, Dan Duggan, joining us right here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I wanted to know a little more about the difference that you've seen in Shane Bowen's defense from what we've probably seen from the Giants the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it really couldn't be more different. I mean, obviously with Wink, it was like that mad scientist. You know, you don't know who's coming, but everyone's coming. And it's just like he's always, you know, trying to overload this side and show you one thing and bring another, and a lot of man coverage, press man coverage on the outside. So, you know, you can be susceptible there to some big plays if they do block it up. Whereas, again, with Bowen, he came in, his whole approach is like, I want to rush with four. That's why the Brian Burns trade was so important, because they didn't have enough rushers to even, you know, execute that scheme. So they went out, made the big splash, and their hope was him, Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence would be enough up front, maybe fill in that other spot, which is still kind of a need. And it didn't work the first 2 weeks, you know, quite frankly. I mean, they got diced up by Sam Darnold and Washington, who apparently just doesn't punt anymore. They didn't punt in that week 2 game. Granted, they kicked 7 field goals, but still, they moved the ball up and down the field with no problems. So, again, that's where he threw a curveball. He didn't, you know, he's new here. I didn't know he had that in him, but it was a much more aggressive game plan, a lot more blitzing. Again, I don't think he's going to change his defensive philosophy over one good game even. But so I would think the game plan against Dallas will, you know, start out saying, let's see if we can get home with this front four, because we're going to need coverage. You know, they don't have anyone who's going to match up with CeeDee Lamb. But I guess I'm saying is, if it doesn't work, maybe he at least knows he can switch it up and has had a little track record of it working. Because, again, that was not the blueprint he came into the season that we did not expect to see the game plan he unveiled against the Browns.
And, Dan, before we let you go, if there is – I think we have the edge at kicker in this game.
Hell yeah, we do.
If McCarthy does line up Aubrey for a 70-yarder, will you sit on the edge of your seat and maybe even pump your fist for history?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Giants have their own issues at kicker. The guy they brought in last week missed a 48-yarder. Just like a 70-yarder. I mean, they basically lost that Washington game because they mismanaged the kicker situation where Graham Gano came into the game hurt. And then, you know, kind of puffed his hamstring trying to chase down a kickoff return for a touchdown that got called back. So, yeah, we're not – listen, in New York, they're just hoping the PATs go through. They're not worried about 70-yarders. That's kind of a sore spot right now. And, you know, again, if this is a close game, that would be a concern, because certainly that's a spot where Dallas has the edge.
Outstanding stuff, man. Really appreciate you jumping on with us this morning, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Dan Duggan right here on 105.3 The Fan, senior Giants writer for The Athletic. Sounds like he did support that 70-yard field
Kevin,
goal.
Somebody said stop throwing slugs at us while we're talking to the ops. We're not scared of the G-men. Look, I get it. I'm just, it is. The last two games, the Cowboys have lost, so I'm a little negative. I'm a little pessimist right now, if you will. Maybe I'll get it back, and I'll be more optimistic later down the road.
Well, if not, I think we're going to throttle the Giants.
There we go.